So the kind of the last slot of the afternoon is falling to me. I kind of don't normally give a talk, but we felt it was, perhaps I felt, since I wrote the programme. so I take all the blame. I thought it would be good, actually, to talk to you about what we kind of do in the office, really, and things that are going on for us. So this is kind of about the administration team. So on the photo there, you'll see at the top sort of a picture of the office we are, and I'll come back to that in a moment. And then across the bottom, the three of us. So I'm just going to interrupt. Jim is just going because he's got to go and catch his flight. So bless you, Jim. He wanted to go quietly, but yeah, thank you, Jim. So Denise is there on the left. You will have met her this morning on the registration desk. She left us just around at lunchtime because she had some family matters that she needed to go off and sort out today. So Denise works a day and a half with us in the office, Tuesday, half day, Wednesday, whole day usually. We all tend to change our hours around a little bit, but that's what she usually works. And she does our finance and does an absolutely amazing job of keeping us on track and making sure everything is sorted. But she also does a lot of the sort of the official reporting side. Because we're a charity, because we're a company, she actually manages a lot of the reports that we have to do in terms of reporting to the Charity Commission and reporting to Company House, talking to the auditors, etc., etc. So she is an amazingly valuable part of the team. To the right on the bottom there is Mike. Mike's at the back here. He's very ably managing our AV today. Mike, his role is the media coordinator. Anything website, anything Facebook, anything leaflets, anything sort of external communication really, that sits on Mike's desk. And he works for us a couple of days a week. And again, moving days around sometimes as needed. I'm in the middle there, kind of hopefully. Who's that young chap? He's not that old. Just without the beard. The wife says it makes me look older. What do you think? It does. Oh, okay. I'm only 25. Oh, yes, I am. Okay. I'm actually only in the office on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. So I'm part-time as well. I'm not there full-time. That happened last July. I went part-time. And that's probably just a reflection of actually the way the office functions has changed over the years. A lot has become more electronic and digital, as a lot of things are. So in the past, when we used to employ Grace, etc., as Daniel's PA, a lot of the stuff that we used to do was very much paper-based. Lots of paper floating around, lots of letters and things like that going out. We probably do about 5 or 10 letters a week now in total, whereas we probably send out about 400 or 500 emails. So, you know, it's a complete switch to the way we work. So there isn't the need for people to be full-time in the office. But actually also it's a reflection that actually a lot of the function of the office in the past was focused around the organisation of a walk mission, the larger missions, as we've done in previous years. And with that not being there, that type of work at the moment, again, there's no need for somebody to be there all the time. So I'm there Monday, Wednesday and Friday. The office, you can remember that TFM kind of started in Daniel and Jilly, one of Daniel and Jilly's bedrooms in the rectory in Coton. And then when they moved out, as Daniel retired, and we moved across the road into these little offices. We're on a 10-year lease there, and we're in year 7.5, coming up 8. So we've, at the most, we've got 2 years to run. So that's something I'll come back to in talking about the future. But we do have to think about what's going to happen with the office as a function, but actually also in terms of a premises as we move forward. On the back of your program list, you'll see we usually give you sort of a breakdown of how things are going financially. It's one of those things financially that, one of the things about TFM, that it's kind of a headache, but it's actually also a huge blessing. You might have heard me say this before, but the first time my association with TFM, it's coming up to 10 years, my first mission was Walk East Sussex Coast, and I'd just been appointed, and they asked me to come down and participate in the mission, and the commissioning service was at the Baptist Church in Hastings. I didn't know anybody. The first person I met, I think, was Roger Foyle, who sadly has died recently. The second person I met, his name I can't remember, it'll come back to me. Spoke with a bit of a stutter. Never mind. Lovely chap. And he's still involved. But the first service I went to was the commissioning service, and the first person to stand up to speak was George, who said, "I really need to tell you that we're in a financial crisis and we haven't got enough money to pay the salaries this month." And I'm thinking, I've just joined this organisation. We haven't quite got as bad as that over the last 10 years, but there is no big barn. It really, as the need is there, God provides. Okay? So we have a budget of round about just over £200,000 each year, and about the donation side of that, about 90% of all our income. Okay? It comes from you good people and others who aren't with us today. As you may not know, but if you don't, we don't get any big subs from any grants or churches or anything like that. It comes from the pounds and pence that you good people give. And it doesn't matter whether you give us 10p or £1,000. We are incredibly grateful for every single penny. Salaries and wages and all that sort of stuff constitutes about 75% of the things that we spend. We've had a few fallow years, and again, actually, I think that was God telling us that we didn't need a big barn. But you know, that gave us a bit of a struggle. So last year we actually went in deficit by £46,000. The previous year, 2016, this year just finished, we have actually finished with a surplus. But that, which is great, absolutely. But I'd just like to point out that actually the part of that surplus was very much a gift of £40,000, which came in somebody's will. We didn't know it was coming. It was a complete surprise. It was a huge blessing. So a little plug on finance. Please write us in your will. Okay. What? Or no. I'd love you to get, and love all the gifts that you give us anyway, but just kind of don't forget it. It's such a huge part, and actually we're no different from lots of other charities in this. Legacy giving has become the major way that people give today. So please don't forget us. And if you are interested, there are leaflets on the table outside. I know we don't like talking about these things, and you know, but there we are. That is the reality. So currently we've got about just over £60,000 in the bank, which up £40,000 from last year, which essentially is the legacy. There we are. And there's the little pie charts, as you can see just there. That's enough on money. General data protection. Again, over my early years with TFM, we've talked a lot about the number of supporters we have or had. And it's, as I started, it started about 4,500, maybe going up to about 5,000 at one point. But we always kept asking, I can remember talking about this in many, many staff meetings and indeed trustees meeting, are they really our supporters? Or are we just sending paper to them? And every time we send out a newsletter, you can absolutely guarantee that we will get at least 100 newsletters through the post back, because people don't want them anymore. And I have lost count of the number of times where people have said, will you stop sending it to me? This person died 10 years ago. Well, which is very sad. But my first thought is, well, why haven't you told us 10 years ago? What have we been wasting our money and our resources sending to people who died 10 years ago? But actually, more than that, I'm absolutely positive we've been sending to people who, just the same as I do with lots of stuff that comes through my door, I think, oh, put it on the side to read later, or, oh, straight in the bin. So I have to say, actually, we're seeing GDPR as a good, positive thing. The chart on the left is the number of supporters the number of people who are on our mailing list before we started this process, and the one on the right is what it is just today. It's just over 600, so I think it's just short of 700 people now, which is about 21% of where it was before. Sounds awful, but actually I know who our supporters are. I know within the group, the gap there is a lot of people who probably still really want to know about TFM, and we will be very sad to lose them. But part of the legislation is that we can't now contact them. We're going to have to hope that they will suddenly realise they're not getting the information anymore. But then they will sign up again, and we will know that they are our true supporters. Okay? So I really want to give this as a positive message. As frustrating as this whole process has been over these last few months, you people and the others who are in that sort of 700 are our true supporters. You are the people who want to know what we're doing and want to be involved in what we're doing and pray for us. Thank you for all that you do for that. That's data protection. Same in the Gideons. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a really a correct figure now. I've thought for years it was.
Absolutely.
People join for a season and then.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. But I wish they then would unsubscribe.
Yeah.
But there we go. It is so easy to unsubscribe. Well, absolutely. Financially, every newsletter costs us about £5,000 or £6,000. So we're not exactly sure how many we will still have to post, because a lot of people actually are on email these days. But I'm quite sure the cost will come down under £1,000. So we will be saving about £12,000 a year. But the money is kind of incidental, really. Except that actually that 12,000 now we could put to an evangelist. So again, I want to see this as a positive thing. I don't want to see it as negative. I really want to praise and God and thank him for all you who are supporters and all the others there represented.
Is that coming down year by year?
Well, yes, it has been. Yes, as I say, when I started it was about 4,500 and a bit. As the starting register was 3.5. So yes, but it's by attrition, as I say, when we've sent out the newsletter, people have come off, people die, et cetera. So yes, it was falling. And again, this is the issue of not actually even getting new supporters of any age. Even when we go and do missions at churches, we find it very difficult to get people in those churches just to be interested, even if it's just for a year or two. One of the things we've always tried to encourage the church to do, now we've been with you, we don't charge for what we do. We'd love you to give a gift, either as a one-off, but actually also maybe in your tithe program for the next 2 or 3 years from your mission tithe or however you describe it in your church. Even that amount is going down. Whether it's because churches can't afford it or whatever, I don't know. But we're actually getting even less now from churches that we're working with. So there we go. So then the future. So 2 things there. The one on the right, the office, I've already mentioned that. We do need to start thinking. It's not urgent, but I just want to put it into your hearts for prayer that actually the trustees, the staff, are going to have to start thinking about what happens next for the office, both in terms of function and location. But then on the left there is the team, and just 2 silhouettes of a male and a female person there. We've talked about that we will be putting out the advert for a new leader, and we really pray that God has anointed a person already out there who's going to come and lead through Faith Missions. Well, we believe that's true. We've just got to find that person. We're going to do a huge amount of advertising, but it's for one person. But it's just making sure that we reach that one person. Now, you may know who that one person is. So why don't you go and ask them, would you be interested in this job? Much rather that came through a personal recommendation, John.
Could you give us an idea of the sort of, I know you can't really ask, what sort of age group ideally are you looking for?
Well, of course, I'm not allowed to say that. You're giving me permission, thank you. You can speak to my lawyer afterwards. Honestly, I think the answer is I don't care. I want the anointed person of God. Realistically, yes, I would love it to be a younger person. I want somebody who is young and dynamic, but that's just my human thinking. There may well be somebody who is dynamic and engaging and has the heart for this who is in their 60s and 70s. Probably doubtful, but it's about going for the right person. So I'm sorry, that's a bit of a woolly answer, but that's really what we're thinking. It's getting the right person to do the job. But it's more than that. We heard just Paul speaking a few moments ago about Richard. Richard had a huge heart for TFM, and he still does. But he realised with all the other stuff that he wanted to do, particularly in his medical side, and both as a GP and indeed his medical missions side, he couldn't actually do all the jobs. So very graciously, he has stepped down. Now, in one sense, that's very sad. In another side, I think we praise God because he has recognized that the challenge of the organization is greater than he can manage. So again, we're looking for the person who can take on that task as a full-time role. But again, in shaping the job, the trustees have relooked at the job description and shaped, we've actually termed the job a chief executive officer. So we're looking for somebody with a heart for evangelism, but not necessarily an evangelist, but somebody who will begin to pull the vision together of the organization, look at the legacy of the past, and take it forward into the future. But it's not going to be somebody who is going to do everything themselves. It's about forming a team around them. So we're looking for one person in the first instance, but we're looking for a new team. We're looking for a new team of evangelists. We're looking for a new team of support people in the background. So I really want to encourage you that yes, we're looking for a new leader, but we're looking for more than that. We really do honestly believe that God is guiding us to go on in the future and is going to bring that team together. So that leader in the first instance is the person, the catalyst, that will draw that all in together. We're very conscious just in the administration side that we are all getting on as well. I'm not going to disappear tomorrow, and if you go my sort of retirement age, I've got quite a few years still to go, another sort of 10 years. But it's interesting, as we've talked with Roz particularly, she is noting that actually the things that we want to do are not the things that she wants to do. The way we do things are different for this day and age. And as much as we can learn and adapt and do this, that, and the other, there are new skills that need to be brought into the team. Mike is our media coordinator, and bless him, he has a huge knowledge that way. But nevertheless, he's not in the right age group for doing tomorrow's media. We need somebody else to come in, and we need this formation of the team. Denise, again, is at the stage where she's coming to the end of probably her working term. Again, not tomorrow, not next year, I don't know. But we're going to need somebody else doing all the finance stuff. So again, it's all about a new team. This is all about a season. A season is coming to an end, perhaps, but a new season is coming, just as the calendar and the clock rolls on. So two very clear things, I think, to consider for the future, the team and the premises. And therefore, what I would like to suggest, if we may, we're going to break for prayer again in our sort of final session just of prayer, is praying for TFM in its total sense. Would you please pray for us as a team that exists, for myself, for Denise, for Mike, in all the things that we do? We don't get out there into the mission field. Okay, that's maybe not our forte. It's maybe more your forte than ours. But actually, you know, with all you couldn't do the missions without making Sam more important. We couldn't do the missions without all the background stuff. So please pray for us in that team, and that the team will grow and continue. Please pray for the future teams in terms of all the new people who will come, both leader and other people, evangelists and support staff, but also for the office as a physical premises and a function, that TFM will have a secure base as we move forward. Is that okay? Any questions, David? No, I don't. I have to say the proportion probably is very small. 100 at the most. Well, okay, thank you. I'd forgotten about that. Yes. We have, I think, just about 560 followers on Facebook, which is great, but they are not our supporters. And again, this is all about the changing media world and changing pattern of stuff. They are not our supporters. They may be interested in one particular photo or event which catches their eye, and they look at it, which is what it means to buy as a sort of a like, or that sort of thing. But they are not TFM supporters, so let's not get the two confused. We need to work out how to harness that group and increase it and make them become supporters and more interested in what we're doing. But there is a difference, and again, that's all about adjusting to this modern environment. Yeah.
Do you have any visitors on the website?
I'm going to defer to Mike then. Do we know what the stats are for visits on the website? Yeah. There'll be a lot of people who, there's a sort of a technical term called the bounce rate, the number of people who will come in and look at a particular page but then not go anywhere else, so they're bouncing in. And that's probably a lot higher than actually people coming into the site very specifically and looking for information, or indeed being drawn on to look at things. And it was interesting, the comment that Paul made in talking to this younger chap earlier on about looking at our site. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just old. Or it projects old. And one of Mike's headaches is actually finding enough pictures to refresh the pictures on the site, but actually also, you know, all you lovely, wonderful people who come on missions, how do I politely put this? You're not in the under 30s group. You can always airbrush, but that would be lying, Dave. Yes.
So really, it's about so, you know,
yeah.
Wanting to interact with people, so the Twitter feeds and so on are far more important. So we've got, I mean, we've got some great stuff on our website, but lots of our churches, we think, don't even know it's there.
Yeah.
So the only way to make them aware of it is to then go on to Facebook and go, I'm going to this, and then put the link in, and then somebody
yeah.
might spot it.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. That's why the leadership we look into the future has will have been comfortable with that kind of way of working. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not. Although I work in that sphere, and my job is making sure that these things happen, actually, it's I just don't like it. It's like asking me to enjoy a food I don't enjoy. You know, it's just not the way I'm...
Yeah.
I do Instagram because that's the way our family communicate these days. We ditched Facebook.
It's the world it is. I'm a complete Luddite with social media. I freely admit it. I don't have a Facebook page. I'm not at all in the slightest interest in having a Facebook page. But actually, as a consequence, I can't even go onto the TFM's Facebook page unless I actually go in through the website. Who has a Facebook page? Have those who put their hands up, how many have visited the TFM's Facebook? Oh, still quite a few. Okay. Yeah, I know, that's it. Photos are the thing. I mean, we had a thing, what was a silly photo, was it?
It
was somebody dressed up as a Cyberman.
That was on Walk Cornwall.
It just went viral. Just ridiculous. Just one photo. But you put a load of text there and it's meaningless. People aren't interested. Put a photo up and it just sparks an interest. And actually, hopefully, a small percentage will say, well, what is this organisation?
What? If you haven't liked our page,
if you are on Facebook and you haven't liked our page, please do so. Because actually it encourages that your other people who are your followers to then also look.
And share our
posts and things. Yeah. So this is the culture that we need to get in, really. But again, I freely admit I don't do it. I have no intention of doing it. So here I am asking you to do it.
Are we holding this organization for broadcast?
Well,
are we here and all the others of a certain age holding it for the young generation? We only have one person in that family.
It's a good question. Good question. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely it. And, you know, in going back to John's question, I don't care who gets the job in the sense that I don't mind what age group they are. But actually, going to my previous job, which is in the health service, I can remember a very clear interview situation. It's really probably not really comparable, but the story is in the sense that the person who was appointed, the chair of the panel, said, I don't like this person. I don't like the way that they're going to work. I don't want to work the way this person works, but I'm going to appoint them because they're the best person to do the job. Now that really struck me. There may be somebody who will apply for and indeed get the CEO job, the leader of TFM. We may not like them. You may decide next year, I don't want to come to TFM because I don't like the new leader. The point I'm making is we have a mentality which is of our age. I want to ask you to pray for the trustees in making the right appointment. Because the key thing is winning souls. It's not maintaining an organization for us to come and be part of and enjoy our fellowship together.
So, sorry to come back to that, David, but you know, I think looking around here, age group, what won me was one man. It was Daniel. And then Peter. And I think we have to look at the word of God. God raises up man. And I think that's what I've been praying for the last
okay.
year or so. But I do think I have to sorry.
No, it's fine. Okay.
Dynamic
yeah.
Too young, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but that's the point of the story I mentioned about the hospital environment. The guy said, I don't like this person. I'm not going to work their way, but they are the right person for the job. And that's the thing. It's making the right person for the right. Yes, I quite agree. We will all actually realize, I think, that it's the right person for the job. But also I would separate out the issue of the organizational sense, which we need today but probably didn't need in the past, but the organizational leader, as opposed maybe even from the dynamic figure. I mean, other organizations have found this. To use one example, J. John and the Philo Trust. J. John is the key personality. Do you know who the CEO is? But they have one. They are the person who is running the organization. That allows J. John to do his work. Is that the model we should look at? I think it probably is. I think we need somebody in this day and age which is very different from even when I started 10 years ago with all the new legislation and new laws and new regulations, etc., 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 and new business practices, new church, new culture, to allow an evangelist to work. To free them from all that dross, that rubbish, to allow them to just be preaching the gospel. That's my view anyway. I may be speaking out of turn, but I'm sorry. Oh, absolutely. Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
Can I make a comment?
Please do. I'm going way beyond my brief. Sorry.
Thanks, Mike. I think we would be the first to say that. You know, where God will equip the person he calls. We do believe that. And I think if you look at on paper our job description, you would say it's impossible. So we are looking for something very special to happen. If we had the missions... to be honest, my feeling is we don't have enough missions to point Roger Murphy at. Roger Murphy's an excellent evangelist. Yeah, I'd like to have more missions. If we had the missions, I would urge us, because it's not my decision, it's our decision, I would be urging us to renew Roz's contract like a shot. I really would. And to the comment that, you know, is Roz the future? You know, yes, I think so. But we need to have the missions there. We need to have the connections there. We need to have everything else in place for that to work. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. So we've talked enough. 5-10 minutes to finish off our afternoon, our time together. Please would you pray for all those things. It doesn't matter what I think. I sometimes be quite vocal when I shouldn't be. Pray to God that he will guide us. Pray that the right person will come. Pray for all those other things, the team, the place, the future. Winning souls for Christ. That's the purpose.